indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Scott.
Bowman.
Present.
Shute.
Here.
McNaughton.
Here.
Moblo.
Here.
Needhammer.
Here.
Nemechek.
Here.
Place.
Here.
Jeff Ross.
Here.
Monica Ross.
Here.
All right, everybody's here. It's fantastic. Let's move on to consent agenda. Approval of minutes from the July 19th meeting.
Chair. Yeah, I'd like to abstain just because I wasn't here at the meeting.
I understand. Okay. Any other questions? Any other motion to approve minutes?
Sure, I'll make a motion to approve minutes as presented.
I've got a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
I'll support.
I got a second. All roll call, Pat.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Nemechek.
Aye.
Place.
Aye.
Monica Ross.
Aye.
Bowman.
Aye.
Shute.
Abstain.
McNaughton.
Abstain.
Moblo.
Yes.
Move on to hearings present for hearing citizens present of non-agenda items. reports of officers, boards, and standing committee. Scott, you have none. There is no unfinished business. Let's move on to new business. Proposed zoning ordinance amendment to remove 500 feet of separation distance requirement from bed and breakfast facilities.
As you may recall, our discussion last month, the planning commission wanted to bring this forward to propose an amendment to eliminate that separation distance. That's the only amendment that I propose for meeting, but I think the whole section is up for discussion. If you want to make any additional changes or amendments, that would be an appropriate discussion at this time.
All right. Does anyone have any questions about this when we're talking about it?
Well, I do. One of the things that was brought up was once you have the bed and breakfast designation, it stays with the property forever.
Yes.
My personal feeling is that if it's not being used as a bed and breakfast, we should have like a clause that says after 5 years it expires, or you have to reapply, or some such thing like that, so that we don't run into this issue as often. I think, I just threw 5 years out there.
Well, you know,
3 years, whatever everybody decides. But I think that just having it go on forever and ever without a time limit and they're not using it as such might not be good.
Tim?
I kind of agree with that. In Ludington, Hamlin Lake, where I'm from, there was ordinances and changes, and one thing that you could see with real estate is people started trying to market, just applying for a B&B status, getting that B&B status. Or like even reaching out to the property owners and trying to get their interest level. Like I know the one property owner was here that did have that status, and she's like, maybe we will, maybe we won't. But I do believe that there should be some type of time frame on that. That way it would keep property owners from being able to get a B&B status and be able to market, their property that way in the future. Of saying, hey, we have a B&B status, it's a, indefinite status that will come with this property.
I think the challenge would be to monitor whether they're still using it as a B&B or not, or
right.
Not using it. They say, oh yeah, we're using it,
right.
And not renting it out. So maybe to have a reoccurring authorization every 5 years or something like that, maybe.
I've got just a question for Scott real quick. How many bed and breakfasts do we have in Denver?
I've seen three been approved since the ordinance was adopted.
Yeah. How many are operating?
I believe one.
Yeah. Okay. I agree with you that is a great idea. I think a better solution would be just modifying the amendment to allow, because they have to get our approval anyways. The other thing is you don't want to look like you are taking any rights away from people that already have them. If they have property that already has a designation allowed to be a bed and breakfast, taking it away from them is not good from a from a city standpoint, taking a right that's already been given. So I would not say that was a good idea, but I do think that taking the 500 feet away and allowing people to have more options to apply for it, I think is a great idea. And I'd like to see that change made, especially since we've only had three apply 41 years. I don't think, and that's something that we can approach again if we start seeing a flood of people applying for it, but at this point it doesn't seem like that's the issue, especially since we have no way to change short-term rentals or anything like that now either, so it's not really a place that we can say what people are doing inside their homes. It's just, I think that making it so that way more people could have access to it, taking away the 500 feet, makes way more sense than trying to come up with a way to limit how long they get the status, especially if people already have it.
I would say that I would like to see the 500 change to 300 feet within the traditional residential district and the rural estate district, but unlimited in other districts.
And what's the rationale for that?
The rationale is 300 feet is maybe
five
city lots. But it gives us some sufficient space.
I understand. I guess what is the...
And in other districts, there are houses that could be used.
Right,
for
right. What is the...
I mean, it is still the same... Can I finish? Yeah. It is still the same argument that I have with short-term rentals. That is a commercial use, so it should be unlimited in other districts, but it can be limited in the traditional residential and the rural estate.
Right. And my question is, what is the adverse impact you're trying to mitigate?
Commercial uses in a traditional residential district.
Bed and breakfasts are allowed in all districts.
I know it is allowed in all districts, but with the 500 foot. So you allow a certain amount of space that they're not packed all in one area.
Is it the traffic, the noise? What are you trying to mitigate? Because historically, we've had zero complaints from any of the bed and breakfasts.
I'm throwing it out there for discussion. That is my preference. I mean, my preference is also to just rewrite this and include short-term rentals for the exact same ordinance.
Aaron?
Yes?
I think with the advent of short-term rentals, it would be silly to try to limit this or tell people they have to reapply or they've got a five-year limit, because anybody who wants to do a short-term rental, I mean, the bed and breakfast would say, okay, I'm not a bed and breakfast anymore, I'm a short-term rental. What's to stop that? And of course, we don't have an ordinance at all right now.
We don't have an ordinance, and by rights, no relaxation of the ordinances has been passed by the state. My understanding is there's two competing ordinances for short-term rentals.
You mean built?
The bills. Built to 4722 is the first one introduced that is unlimited. Okay. Subsequent to that, Damus from
Harbor Springs
introduced one that allows a certain amount of regulation for in single-family residential districts. So those, it's not a done deal that short-term rentals are unlimited.
So, what you're trying to say is that this should apply to short-term rentals. And how should we handle all the ones that are already currently operating?
You can allow them to sustain and already operating, but limit the additional ones.
I would advise against that strongly.
Yeah.
Given the nature of the bills and something is going to happen, and we are currently engaged with a company to do an inventory to identify exactly how many we have, exactly where they're at, I would strongly advise not to put anything in the ordinance where you would put yourself into a position to grandfathering things in.
Okay.
And if this city commission decides to move forward some type of ordinance, that's up to them. So what type of ordinance, maybe a police power ordinance, maybe a zoning ordinance, some other, maybe nothing, who knows, you know, who knows. So it's going to be up to the city commission to give the policy direction once we obtain the information of what we have in the city and what is the impacts that we're trying to mitigate.
Okay. Nicole?
I have a two-part question. Paying for the lack of just ignorance here, what does the bed and breakfast designation provide them?
Basically, you can have a group of several different people, up to four different bedrooms, or maybe six bedrooms, of unrelated persons at the home. And then you can serve meals to them. So there's a service aspect to it. So it's different than a short-term rental where, like, a family rents a home and it's just them. Here, you live there, and then you could have, you know, four or five different unrelated groups of people staying there. So that's the nature.
Long-term or short-term?
Typically short-term for a...
But there's no designation?
Yes, there is. Well, for bed and breakfast, yeah, there's a specific designation.
No, I mean, like, it doesn't specify that it's only short-term.
No,
like,
no.
Like, so your tenants could be a long-term staying at your... Do you see what I'm asking? Like,
I think, yeah, I don't think that's a likely scenario.
Like, why it would need to be governed then, you know, especially if we're looking at short-term rentals where they're basically saying, you can't tell me what I can do with my property.
Well, I think it's the numbers of people that you could have and the number of bedrooms of unrelated persons.
Right, but even on a short-term rental, you can run into that situation as well.
Not as often.
You'd be surprised. But, I mean, because I know there's groups of friends that go,
yeah, I know there,
and
I know
so
there are.
It's all unrelated.
Those are kind of the outlier. But, and I, you know, that's a whole different discussion too, but.
Right, I just want to see
in terms of our ordinance.
Right, if why we're putting attention to something that potentially could fall under other jurisdiction of the state level of not being able to regulate.
Well, bed and breakfast would not fall under the short-term problem. It's its own kind of unique and business operation.
Okay.
Is there a minimum square footage or a maximum square footage for bed and breakfasts?
No, there's no square footage associated with that.
Any other questions? Proposals?
I think I like this. I think it makes it a little bit easier to have a bed and breakfast. And I would move that we adopt the ordinance as presented.
Well, no, we would
recommend that
you schedule it for a public hearing.
Okay.
And then it'll be advertised. If the commission agrees on this proposed amendment, would basically delete item G there. That
right.
Separation is.
That's what I meant.
So.
I'll second that.
All right. I have a motion and a second. Roll call, Pat.
Can I clarify the motion?
Basically, recommending staff to establish a public hearing for the proposed amendment to limit, eliminate item G and section 2168.
Bowman?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
McNaughton?
Yes.
Mobile?
Yes.
Meathammer?
Yes.
Nemechek?
Aye.
Place?
Yes.
Jeff Ross?
Yes.
Monica Ross?
Yes.
All right, let's move on to the development of Planning Commission work plan.
I think it would be helpful to have the Planning Commission kind of have an annual work plan. You have some, you know, mandated duties, the administration, the ordinance, the master plan, the development of the zoning ordinance, and those kinds of things. In addition, you know, the city adopts goals every year and has goals in the master plan. And you may want to use those as reference to kind of focus what you know, things you would like to move forward on.
Right.
I've kind of, you know, I provided you all the various goals that the city commission established. You know, they do that on a cycle with the election of a new commission, usually shortly after they have a goal setting session and kind of set the focus for the next couple of years.
And this is from the last one?
This is from the last one, and I put all the ones, the goals that were kind of appointed to the planning area. And we did pretty well accomplishing a lot of those. So you don't want to think about some of the things additional that we didn't. And then the goals from the master plan, we have those that kind of focus on a variety of aspects. Kind of in the draft work plan, I just come up with a couple ideas. You know, of course, you know, any of the ideas you want to add there, we have them do that. But the comprehensive plan, you know, we're working on the future land use map. I anticipate that being wrapped up this year. But, you know, with the census data just being come out, you know, I think it's probably a good time to do a complete update of the master plan, you know, get that started off in the next budget year. And then hopefully you have that completed about a year or two. So you know, about a 10-year cycle is what you'd like to have those updates between. Zoning ordinance, we've looked at a lot of regulations over the past, you know, a lot of focus on housing and limiting the barriers, but there may be other areas we want to focus on too. You know, parking is always, you know, something that should be looked at and how we deal with that. And, you know, maybe some other, like form-based codes or other areas that we may want to discuss about how we implement, you know, the plan, the master plan. And then training, I think, is an important part, you know. You know, there is some training because we are an RRC certified community that's available. There is through the RRC website, they have free training available for the best practices. I can give you all that link and then you can, you know, basically establish an account, just identify yourself as a Boyne City Planning Commission member and you have free access to that. And in the past, we've tried to, you know, set up specific trainings in areas, you know, for various, you know, issues that have come up. But if there's areas that you would like to focus on for any particular thing, you know, I'd be happy to see, you know, what resources are out there to help develop that. So that was my kind of draft idea. So just bring it to you guys for discussion. I'd like to move forward. Okay.
Scott, like you said, a lot of these goals or things that have been passed on have also been making some headway with it. The city commission also has said, hey, we need to look at these specific things. And very helpful to have some direction from there.
Right, yeah.
Is this the direction that we're giving ourselves? Is this the direction that we're presenting so that somebody else can say, oh, this is a good idea?
This is focused on the planning commission. So this would be your, you know, goals. And I think, you know, as the city commission established those goals, and if they do it in a similar way that was done last time, they're broken up into specific tasks and designated to certain, you know, responsible parties, you know, we can incorporate those into our work plan, you know. But, and then, you know, if there's other things that you specifically want to work on.
I'd really like to see some sort of training that we do all together. General best practices, being able to handle, basically dealing with meetings, and making sure that we're doing it as fluidly as possible, making sure that we're asking the right questions and being, I mean, and giving enough time for that type of thing. But and then also understanding what things you don't get to discuss during a meeting because it's not like legally prudent. Mm-hmm. So that would be very helpful. We have a newish board. It would be good to have that go through that. At least that's my opinion.
No, because I think that meeting between Pasky last year was fantastic. It was discussing FOIA and everything else like that.
Yeah, that's great information. How many people did we get to go to that?
I was there.
Yeah, we had quite a few.
That was a great workshop.
But it was a great workshop. I'd like to see more of that. And I think, but us doing it all as a group at the same time would be nice. I don't know how that can be arranged.
Well, I can reach out to our RRC coordinator, and they'd like to do it in like a regional way.
Oh, sure.
That's how they did it in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can kind of say those towns too.
Yeah, anywhere within 30 to 60 miles would be great.
Not sure where they're, if they're back to do, actually doing in-person trainings.
Or if they're still online.
But I can reach out to them and see where they're at.
I think so. Yeah, I don't think it needs to be just us with another, but I think that if we do it, I'd like to see everybody go.
Yeah.
And that way we can participate together in that sense.
It would be interesting to meet some of the planning commissions of the adjacent townships as well.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Now, question about clarification. As far as, one of the things that I really enjoy is getting into the development rate projects and just looking at various potential zoning ordinance and changes. Is this something that typically comes down from the city commission leads that us to be taking initiative on these things is we kind of wait for city commission to tell us, ask us to do certain things?
It could be both. I mean, it could be initiated by the planning commission if you see an issue or an area that needs to be addressed, or there may be a policy change by the city commission that they would give the planning commission direction on. Developing some specific policy.
Is there any particular rule as to after so many years the entire document of zoning ordinances and stuff needs to be reviewed and updated? There's no rule on that?
No.
Okay. I just wondered because when I was on the planning commission downstate in our township, we had an attorney come and go section by section and inform us of new laws that might make things in our ordinances not kosher anymore,
right,
and things like that. And that was eye-opening. It was really a good experience. And I'm sure that some of ours are here in Boyne are like that.
I've had feedback from various people that know that I sit and ask in regards, especially to county versus city level, in regards to like building codes and things
right.
of that nature that don't allow line and some even contradict, so they're having
right.
like frustration points trying to get both steps, you know, so just things that are probably outdated in the city level that haven't been brought.
Well, those are two different areas of ordinance. You're looking at building codes at the county.
Well, within the city limits, though.
Well, they administer all building codes within the city limits and they're the same code as a county level. I mean, through the entire county. So there's no conflicting issues between our ordinances and the county ordinances. They're two separate, complete areas of regulation.
But what you're saying is that it would be
your point is because there's constant changes that
take and it was on a 10-year cycle in the township I sat on the board with. Every 10 years you had to review all the ordinances, and we sent it to our township attorney. He reviewed it and came and talked to us about what may no longer apply, what we might want to change based on new laws and things like that. And well, we went in, this was 15, 20 years ago now, because I'd been up here a long time. But we went into a lot of information over overlay districts and things like that, which was a totally new concept 20 years ago for me,
right.
You know? And now we're instituting some of that here in Boyne City. And so I just wondered if there was any ruling that, you know, we need to review it?
No, not for a zoning ordinance.
But,
you know, the master plan, there is a state
right.
regulation requiring that. So given that, you know, it's supposed to be the basis of your ordinances. It would only make sense that your ordinance should be updated with it accordingly. But also, you know, to your point, there are, you know, court cases and new legislation all the time that impact zoning, and those changes should be made, you know, as needed.
So So you're making my condition to have that be a point of us looking through the ordinance?
Well, if you're doing goals, I think that that might be a worthwhile goal. To have a complete review of our zoning ordinances and maybe have the city attorney.
Yeah, that's something that probably has to be budgeted.
Yeah. And, you know, it may not be this year. It may be next year.
Well, maybe it's like in concert with the master plan.
That, yeah.
If we want to fund some kind of review of the ordinance, in concert with that.
Right.
That may be a good.
Yeah, just to make sure that all our ordinances are up to date with the laws of the state.
Maybe another way of saying that is we want to be proactive and not react.
Yeah. I mean, I have not reviewed page by page every ordinance. It's a big fat book. If I want to know something, I look it up, that particular item, but an attorney should be able to tell you if something looks fishy, and then it should be something for discussion with our group.
Under bullet point two, it already says that the master plan comprehensive review of the entire ordinance should be completed. It already says that in this list of goals from Scott.
Good.
It's already there.
Well, that's slightly different. The master plan is slightly different than the zoning ordinance.
No, it literally says like comprehensive review of the entire ordinance should be completed. It literally says that once the master plan is complete.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the draft basis.
Correct. I agree 100%.
Okay.
I am proud of what we have done in light of the Housing Solutions Committee's recommendations and Scott and staff being proactive and saying, okay, how can we take away barriers? I'm just pointing out as an example of how we were proactive.
Yeah.
And trying to reduce the cost of housing.
That's an example of the city commission, given the planning commission policy direction, then the planning commission going up on that, developing those amendments.
I know. I just noticed today I was driving on a division near Front Street, and there's been some property on the corner of Hull Street that's been for sale forever.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to be one of those new? There was all kinds of stakes there. I wondered if they applied for overlay.
They haven't even bought the property yet.
Oh, okay.
They're trying to figure out what can actually work.
Okay. I wondered if that was somebody trying to apply our new overlay.
Well, that hasn't been adopted yet.
Okay.
It's still a draft form and has to be presented to the city commission and for review and discussion before we move forward with the public hearing. So it's a pretty comprehensive change, so that's something that I want to make sure the city commission on is behind the policy prior to moving forward.
So.
So are there any specific areas that topics that perhaps you're looking at? I know housing has been the big one, but
I think that's the main priority. The main one right now, and I think that needs to be number one on the list.
Mm-hmm. Outside of that, I haven't seen a lot of people come to us with indication that we're seeing barriers in the ordinance that we're making from development. I mean, we work really closely with a lot of developers. Whether it was like what we did with Dafuku and brought all that property and straight through that development, the lots and all that other stuff. So, but I think in housing, we're still to a point where I think everybody just seems to think you're going to pop up housing everybody can afford now. It's such a struggle.
What frustrates me to
know. I'm not sure as a commission, I apologize, Mark. As a commission, I'm not sure how we get around those obstacles. Those are obstacles that are outside of our control. Just the sheer cost of development alone makes it almost unforeseeable.
Yeah, well, you have to look at the areas you can control that have an impact on cost.
Right.
And that's process, mm-hmm. and that's some of the requirements. Mm-hmm. The building size, lot size, mm-hmm. those kind of things can impact the cost of development. So, right. And where those were recognized, those have to change.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they're a small part of that puzzle.
Right.
You still get labor and materials and land and all the other things that are going to you know, add to those costs, but we know we can.
A question. I know that we, you know, have recently gone through and kind of removed barriers and specifics to say, like tiny, smaller homes and whatnot. Is there any way to potentially the city could advertise such things? Like, look what we've done to help bring housing in. You know, instead of people always complaining, have like that forefront of this is what we've done to try and open this up. I mean, tiny houses are something that's kind of a big thing, and it's, you know, if people don't know that they can do it here, they may not even be looking.
Well, I don't think we have any means to specifically put that out there. We only got Steve Snell, the housing program coordinator, and that's kind of his role to, extol various municipalities under his jurisdiction and what's available there. So I guess I would lean on him to kind of put that out there.
Would this be something your Chamber of Commerce would be interested in publicizing?
Turn it into the Chamber newsletter.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. I mean, when we first started the whole housing meeting, like 4 years ago, we had zoning administrators from all the various municipalities stand up and talk about, you know, the various ordinances and what was allowed and what was, you know. And, you know, a lot of people there didn't know that, you know, some of the availability, you know, like accessory dwelling units or other things that, you know, were available. They didn't know that. So, you know, perhaps another kind of session like that would be helpful.
Might be particularly appropriate since there's such, whoever started this Boyne City Buzz page has so many negative people that have no understanding of the obstacles. They just look to the city to cure all their problems. And a lot of these are not city problems. We're pretty good about working with entities that want to invest or get a development going. The money is the problem. They should be talking to their congressmen. And the congressmen are the only ones who are going to send government money to us to make it so we can build affordable housing.
Or some private developer. Perhaps.
Well, the developer will get the money from the government. But if the government doesn't make it available in our area, and right now all the government money is going to Southeast Michigan. MSHA, HUD, all their monies are going to Southeast Michigan. So we need to campaign our legislators in this area to get some of that money coming here.
Right.
Plain and simple. Because a developer cannot afford to build affordable housing without government help at this point. Labor and building costs are way too much. The only way they could do it is if they built a 12-story building. And we do not want that.
One of the things that we talked about, and it may have been a year or two ago, was when we were talking about somebody was coming into the business park, and we were talking about setbacks and how they're really, really kind of not quite right. there were a lot of setbacks to some of the businesses and stuff like that. Should we be looking at the business park and trying to figure out what we can do to make it easier for new businesses to come into Boyne City? Obviously, we work with them, but maybe make it so that way we can preemptively make that easier. I don't know. Just a thought.
Part of that ordinance review, yeah.
Sounds like a gold man.
not just housing, but to create some more jobs.
Well, no, exactly, yeah. Look at the big picture.
But there is a DDA for the business park that we would want to work with
okay.
On that kind of thing. Because they're... The people on that board, most of them have businesses, and they would know those issues. But that's a good idea.
Good point.
Yeah. Any other suggestions, or
do we want to be looking for development-ready properties, like we went through and say, hey, how come somebody's not doing something with this property? It's big and empty. And
that's probably
right. We did that review.
Right. About a year ago?
Yeah, about a year ago. And I applied that to city manager and the Main Street manager to review, and the intent was to bring it to the city commission for, you know, a review as well. The redevelopment ready program requires that you have three specifically identified. And you know, quite frankly, you know, in the, since 2016, we've been in the program. We've had numerous identified. I've yet to get a call from any developer that has been notified through the RRC program that those properties were available. So I don't know the real value of certifying those three. I think it's a valuable exercise for us to look at them and identify them and see what we have in our community. But identifying those three, the only really benefit of having those three identified and on the state website, it qualifies you for all the other opportunities and programs that they can offer, like the training opportunities, assistance through planning. You know, we've done a couple of different planning activities with them and other technical assistance through them, just for qualifying. So I think it's more important to have a discussion about what those are, what those are priorities, be aware of those properties. But the final delineation of identifying, you know, three certified, I'm not sure that's all that important.
Scott, the typical developer that calls you, have they already got a property in mind?
9 times out of 10, they've already done their legwork and due diligence, and they're just following up. You know, every once in a while, I'll get a call, you know, it's, I'm looking for a site for this kind of stuff. And, you know, that's, but that's the, you know, outlier.
I know there have been discussions in the past. Has there been any further discussions about bringing a larger hotel in the town?
No one has contacted me about looking for area to do that.
Well,
I just wondered if we couldn't kind of groom. Gwen Catt has built, he's been developed a hotel over in the Hayward area.
Right.
And obviously he likes Wine City. If he would, and he owns that property, I know it's in Wilson Township, in front of the storage garages on M75, which I think would be a wonderful spot for a small hotel. But there's got, you know, it would be nice if we could have some sort of hotel.
Yeah.
And he might be a prospect for that.
I don't think he's going to do any project in the short term.
Okay.
And he said so much. Just given the market and the cost of developing right now. So he says he's not doing anything for the foreseeable future. I'm sure he will once, you know, hopefully the market corrects itself in some way and makes it more viable for them to move forward. You know, that Wilson Township property, you know, that's the issue there is the municipalities that have to agree on a 4.5 acre.
Well, I noticed that the Save-A-Lot sign is down.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen.
No.
So, but Wilson Township was not agreeable to the terms of a 425 agreement with the city, so something couldn't be worked out.
I see.
Hotels are not an easy way to make a profit. I mean, I remember I was involved in a lot of the discussions when the Dilworth was being brought up for redevelopment, and you know, the all of the studies show it's a very tough go just because of the off seasons. You know, the most of the year is an off season for us, and so it's just not an easy way for a developer to make a killing, and we're not on a major highway. And, you know, unless, like you were talking about the Devlon property, unless you could be right on the lake, which isn't going to fly with local citizens, probably, it's going to be, that's just a tough, it's a tough way to make a profit for a developer.
I will say that staff, Scott and Mike Kane and Main Street and the LFDA, they're recruiting daily. You know, they really are. I mean, that's part of their job description, is they're out there beating the bushes, trying to find someone that will build apartments. someone that will build a factory, someone that will build a hotel. I mean, it's a tough sell, but it's not being ignored. That's what I'm pointing at.
I know, I tried to talk, when I was selling real estate, I tried to talk to Shano out of Bay City. Come up here, but he's doing things in Gaylord, and he owns a property at Boy Mountain. And he built, in Bay City, he built a lot of subdivisions that were affordable housing. And I did contact him, and I tried to get him to purchase some property in this area and develop it and things like that, and at that time, he wasn't interested, but he's a good guy, too, and he has ties to the area. I believe his name is Gary DeShano.
I want to change the pace a little bit. Do we have any goals on our deteriorating seawall? And do we have goals that are already at the Rivermouth as far as cleaning it up?
I would have to talk to Tim Foss about that. I know a lot of investment has been done so far.
But I don't know. Those blankets of rock don't look good in the walls, some of the walls
are falling. Right, yeah. Tim would be the better person to talk to a little bit.
Okay. And then, I don't know if this falls under goals or those fall under goals, but you know, our wood part also needs some attention as well.
Yeah, that doesn't kind of work for planning in
general.
Well, we don't zone how the wood park is built.
Right.
We're trying to get a little stuff.
That's kind of more through the Parks and Rec Commission.
Gotcha.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, with that being said, Skyler, it'd be great for you to report any repairs that need to be repaired so the staff knows about it so they can address it.
Well, I mean, this needs more than just some staff work, but I did that with the City Beach, you know. I messaged Travis or something on Facebook or get a hold of Tim the next day something was done. So, I mean, they're at it. This will just take a little bit more kind of money for it.
Have you been out there investigating that quite a bit, Skyler?
Oh, yes. I have two young kids.
Good work.
Yeah, I was excited the city came and cleaned up our beach down at Lower Lake Street. I was like, wow, they came here and they raked and they took all the crap away. It's exciting.
And unfortunately, 2 days later,
there's a storm and then it washed a bunch of crap back. I know.
What are you looking for from the beach?
Direction. Just how to develop. I think we got it. Comprehensive plan, that'll be our focus next year. Review of the ordinance as part of that, training, develop specific training that everyone can go through. So I think I got a pretty good idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, not the master plan map has been modified. Are we going to be looking at the zoning ordinance to try and start following that?
Well, it hasn't been modified yet. It's got
to go through the city.
It's still going through the process. And once that's done, you know, I think the next step would probably look at the master plan as a whole, and then look at the ordinance as a whole. This zoning ordinance was adopted in 2001, so it's 20 years old, probably, you know, due time for a complete review. I think that would probably be a great way to approach it.
Are you just looking for consensus here?
No motion needed, but I think I'm getting a pretty good sense of what you want. We'll develop something and do that with everybody.
All right, sounds good. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
All right. Let's move on to the staff report.
All right. I don't know if you saw, but the census data did come out. The city grew by a little over 2% to 3,816, I believe, added to 81 people. The city of Charlevoix, the city of East Jordan both lost population. Boyne Valley Township, Village of Boyne Falls both grew. Wilson Township for ourselves, Frank, Abilene Township to our north grew. As a whole, the county added population, a couple percent, I believe. So, a lot of growth over by Gaylord. They passed us. We were probably ahead of them from the last census in population, and they turned the tables on us. So with that data out, you know, comes, you know, a lot of great information that we can use to, you know, look for our future.
So is Boyne City still the largest full-time resident city in Charlevoix County, or is Charlevoix passed?
Yeah, it's, no, we're larger than Charlevoix, larger than East Jordan.
We're almost double Charlevoix and East Jordan, right? Is East Jordan still bigger than Charlevoix? I think in 2010 they were.
Yeah, it's real close. So they're all both around 2,200 or something like that. So, so yeah, we're by far the largest.
And that's kind of full-time residents, homestead.
Right, well, but, you know, you have to look at Charlevoix and Charlevoix Township. Mm-hmm. Charlevoix Township is a couple thousand people, so that's kind of feeds into that whole city vibe, you know, mm-hmm. how big they are. So we're not surrounded by that many densely populated areas as they are in Charlevoix.
So, so I think one of our goals, I think, should be to move the county seat back to Boyne City.
That would have benefits, yes, indeed.
Maybe in the middle of the night, I don't know.
Yeah, go find it.
Where can we access that if there's just our model? Like any government website?
The census puts it out in table format probably in the next month or so. I think if you just Google Michigan Census, you'll come up with, you know, some maps you can click on and show you that data. But right now, it's the stuff delivered by the census is a very complex, you know, for a high-end user kind of stuff. So I don't have the ability to write into that data yet. So, but it's pretty easily found. I looked at Detroit News and they have a great story with all the various municipalities and just search them. The City Commission approved a trail extension from the airport to Clean Water Way, basically paving that little section from the parking lot to the drive there that will connect the trail. Other than that, the trail is completely done. We're closing out the grants for that. Once we get our plaque, we can fix it and hopefully close that grant out and be done with that project. Interesting thing on permits and our housing discussion. We are on a record-setting pace. We issued 39 permits for single-family dwellings. A typical year is maybe 7 to 10. That includes 19 for the manufactured housing part for their expansion. But still, that's, you know, 20, that's way ahead of any year. And we're, you know, at about $22 million of investment in the community, which is far away the biggest year that I've ever seen. $15 million of that is the Tuco plant. But still, you know, just with that removal, we're still on a very good year. So a lot of pent-up demand from last year is, you know, coming to fruition. So even though we do have those challenges with, you know, costs, you know, people are building, so that's a good sign. Well, that's about all I got.
You have.
One thing.
Down to the chair.
The new
homes
are being built on the water.
Aaron, I do have one thing. It kind of pertains to us since I think we created the group, the marijuana group, as far as actually getting the board to engage the public.
Right, and that's where we left it, and I haven't been informed of any future meetings, so I'm not sure where we're at.
I'm just trying to get to the point on, okay, we actually have a board that actually wants to creatively discuss marijuana instead of just a no board.
talked to the city manager, fire department meeting on Wednesday, and bring it up, and it's ready to go.
Thank you, Scott. Is that Scott?
Yep.
Good to the order. Everybody doing pretty good? Glad to see everyone here, that's awesome.
Happy, healthy, happy, healthy. We had a crazy weekend, crazy good weekend, though. Oh, Pirate Fest.
I thought, it was much bigger, and I thought it was much more enjoyable. Obviously, it was still new, but it was, I mean, the live animals in the park, that was really cool for the kids to see.
Well, you know, it was good weekend.
I think it was cool that it was at Sunset Park, too, because it keeps it all kind of close to, I mean, the Pirate Festival part of it keeps it closer to the downtown and stuff, so. But then you had the other stuff going on here at Veterans also, so, yeah, it was a...
It was a very good festival.
Yep.
Good, I got something to say.
Yeah, yeah.
Good work. I think we do a great job, but I really, really, really hope we maintain our transparency. Because to Monica's point, anybody that pays attention to social media, the community is uber up in arms with city government right now. And granted, none of us are elected officials, we've all been applied, we've all, yes. But I'm telling you right now, they think there is some backwater stuff going on around here.
It's a lynch mob.
It really is, and I always felt we've been very transparent, we've always had open meetings. I've never participated in some kind of anything backdoor. So I just hope that we maintain that as this board, that we're all committed to maintaining that transparency, because I think we do a really good job, and I don't want to become a victim of said lynch mob. So, that's my piece.
Yeah, I didn't block that website because it made me too upset. They're just a lynch mob. They're not using common sense, and they just want to kill somebody.
Honestly, half the people that make those comments don't even live in Boyne City. I know all of them just about.
Oh, okay.
But nonetheless.
Yeah.
It can create a very artificial taint on the good work that we are doing.
I know.
Because we are doing really good work.
We, yeah.
You know, and we worked for almost 2 years with the developers of Lost to get that project going. Mm-hmm. And now there's a whole new conspiracy theory about what's going on there. And it's somehow tied into this whole marina thing that's blowing up. And I'm just like, I just want to make sure it's important because we worked really hard for a long time. We've always been very transparent. Always held our public meetings, yada, yada, yada. I just hope we maintain that. So.
One of the things that has always made me very proud about being part of Boyne City versus Charlevoix, Petoskey, or some of the other surrounding towns, our town is a can-do town. And when people come to us, we work together to try and make it happen. I mean, sometimes you're asked things that just can't work. But in general, this town has always tried to make things work. And a couple of years ago, we were at Boyne Thunder with an ex-mayor from Petoskey. And we were walking around with him, and it was his first time coming to stroll the streets for Boyne Thunder. He just shook his head. He said, we could never do this in Petoskey. Never. We can't get enough people to agree on anything to make anything like this ever fall together. And I mean, he's an ex-mayor of Petoskey.
And
I've worked on an organizing committee for Boyne Thunder for many years. I've worked on a lot of different volunteer activities around here. It makes me very proud to live in this community because we are a community that tries to work together. So seeing all this stuff, this lynch mob on Facebook and all that, it just angers me to no end, and I don't sleep at night because it's so much fallacy in it. And they feel like if we lynch these people, we're going to get affordable housing.
And we're going to start being
You're not even talking to the right people because the people in this city and the city commission and planning commission, we're all working so hard to make it happen. But we can't do it without a developer and without government funds. And then they're mad because we go after grants. That's a waste. You know, and it's like, and so, yeah. I feel very bad that our city has gone to this lynch mob mentality for so many people.
My comments are directed mainly at this board, because I don't think we associate with anything.
No.
So, I think the order is how we do our business, and I think we're doing a great job, and I think she was maintaining everything we've been doing. Because I'm proud to sit on this board,
right.
And I think we've done really good work, so.
All right, I just need a motion for adjournment. A motion to adjourn.
So second.
I've got 4 seconds. all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. I'll see you guys back here on September 20th.
Okay.
For